All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are Locked On Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today we're talking about why cutting Mike Davis was necessary for the Falcons rebuild, and we'll be joined later by guest Trevor Sikkema of Pro Football Focus to talk about why he thinks the Falcons absolutely nailed this 2022 draft.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So guys, you know me, I'm Aaron Freeman, been covering the Falcons for many years, formerly at FalcFans.com, RIP, still going strong on Twitter at FalcFans, and of course, the host of this preeminent Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, right here on the Locked On Sports Atlanta podcast family. And of course, I want to thank everyone that makes Locked On Falcons their first listen each and every day. Locked On Falcons, like all Locked On Sports Atlanta podcasts, family podcasts, are free and available on Monday through Friday on the same podcast platforms that you check out, like Apple, Odyssey, Google, Spotify, YouTube, of course. Completely botched that one. So anyway, guys, let's jump into the conversation. Let's move on past that. And today's episode will be later joined by Trevor Sikkema of Pro Football Focus, formerly of Locked On NFL Draft Podcast, to talk about why he actually loves what the Falcons did in this draft class. We'll get Trevor's thoughts on his favorite picks, the picks that maybe he's still scratching his head a little bit about and what more on today's episode. But first, we got to get into today's Monday's news where the Falcons made several roster moves. They cut several players. They extended fifth-year options. They signed 13 undrafted free agents. We're not going to get into the undrafted free agents on today's episode. Maybe that's something we'll save for June when there's nothing else going on. And by then, we'll have done with the draft class, and maybe we can take a deeper look at these undrafted free agents. The fifth-year options, there's not a whole lot to parse about that. We knew Chris Lindstrom would get his fifth-year option. Caleb McGarry would not get his. So that means Chris Lindstrom is under contract for the 2023 season, while Caleb McGarry is not, and thus will be a free agent after this 2022 season. So it's really a make break year for him as part of the Falcons rebuild. And that gets us to the cuts that the Falcons made. They cut Mike Davis, the most notable of these cuts. They also cut offensive tackle Willie Beavers, outside linebacker James Valders, and they put long snapper Bo Brinkley on injured reserve. Besides the Davis move, the Brinkley going on IR is probably the most notable of these moves, given that Beavers and Valders were sort of back in roster guys a year ago. And, you know, I think with Bo Brinkley, it was interesting because earlier in April, the Falcons brought in a second long snapper after they signed Bo Brinkley earlier in the month. That second guy was Liam McCullough. And my thought then was, oh, this has something to do with what, when Locked On Titans host Tyler Rowland was on the podcast talking about Bo Brinkley earlier in April and how his career and season in Tennessee back in like 2020 got derailed by COVID and he was never the same. And I figured, oh, this is the Falcons bringing an insurance policy in the event that Bo Brinkley still hasn't gotten it back. And now, you know, 2 years removed from that, and they just want to have a competition at that long snapper spot. But now it's clear that, you know, Brinkley is out for the season with an undisclosed injury. And now it's, you know, Liam McCullough's job as that long snapper to replace, you know, the incomparable Josh Harris, who the Falcons, you know, allowed to walk in free agency. You know, with Brinkley being on IR, going on IR before the final cuts, that means he's done for the season. You know, short-term IR only exists between that day when you can make final cuts and the end of the regular season. So it is Liam. I call him the Highlander McCullough as the Falcons' new long snapper. Maybe later this summer, if he's not cutting it, they bring in another long snapper to compete for that job. But for the time being, it looks like he's going to be the guy that he's at least the front runner to replace Josh Harris at that spot. So let's talk about Mike Davis. And a lot of people saw this coming. I was a little skeptical about it because I just thought, oh, it makes more sense if you want to maximize your roster. You want to bring in Davis to camp and have someone actually beat him in a competition. But, you know, of course, now I realize the error of my ways. It's not really about competition. I forgot that the Falcons are rebuilding. We'll get to that in a second. And the addition of, you know, fifth round draft pick Tyler Algier sort of, you know, had the writing on the wall. Now, the main reasons why you want to cut Mike Davis, first of which is you free up some cap space, about $2.5 million in cap space. That's not enough for the Falcons to get their rookie signed. As of today, in my calculations, the Falcons have a little bit more than $4.1 million in cap space. They need about $5 million to get that deal, get those rookies signed. Cutting Kendall Sheffield would give them enough cushion to make that possible. Probably won't be any other moves that they could really make, at least from a cut standpoint, that's going to really move the needle in that regard. So it's either down to that, or they, you know, adjust the contracts with Grady Jarrett or Deion Jones. And that doesn't necessarily mean they have to trade those guys. They could figure out a way to free up some cap space by restructuring them. And that'll be something that we'll just have to keep an eye on over the next couple of months, you know, before training camp. There's no rush to get those rookies signed, you know, today. You know, we can wait till the mid July for that to happen. But the second reason to cut Mike Davis is to open up the competition for that RB2 spot behind Cordero Patterson. Now, you're going to lose something by cutting Mike Davis, and this is part of why I was skeptical that the Falcons would initially make this move, because I was thinking about, you know, what's the thing that's going to make the team the best in 2022, as opposed to I forgot the mission. But we'll get to that in a second. What you're losing in Mike Davis is his pass protection abilities. While he wasn't elite there by any means, he's competent enough that it could allow the Falcons to not have to put Cordero Patterson in that role and allow Cordero Patterson to do the thing that we know he does best, which is impact in the passing game as a pass catcher rather than being stuck in the backfield having to pass protect. So that was part of the value of Mike Davis. Now, you obviously bring in someone like Damian Williams, who has experience doing that, probably to fulfill a lot of those same duties. You don't know if Tyler Algier can do that. Watching like six or so games the other day of him, I was not particularly impressed with his pass protection abilities. And we know Quadri Olison, in limited opportunities over the last couple of seasons, has not particularly shined in that arena as well. So it's probably Damian Williams' job to lose to be that primary pass protector. You're also losing, by cutting Mike Davis, a significant amount of production. He had over 100 touches last year, over 700 yards from scrimmage. And I know Mike Davis was disappointing by all accounts as an RB1 for the Falcons, but he was a pretty competent RB2, to the point that when you look at his production versus Cordero Patterson's production, purely as runners, not factoring in the pass-catching ability, but purely as runners, when you look at metrics like success rate and PFF's elusiveness rating and yards per carry, there wasn't that much difference between Patterson and Davis a year ago. And so that kind of tells you that the real issues with the Falcons' running game had less to do with who was at running back and more to do with the offensive line and blocking. But that'll be a conversation for us to broach later this summer. But, you know, as I said, I don't think this move was about making the Falcons a better football team, because I don't really think the Falcons are a better football team without Mike Davis on the roster. But this move is really about clearing the runway for one of these younger running backs. I'm looking at you, Tyler Algier. I'm looking at you, Quadri Olison, to, you know, prove themselves. And neither one of those guys were going to be able to usurp Mike Davis on the roster. Maybe Damian Williams could do it. But, you know, neither one of these guys are prepared to give you, you know, to outcompete Mike Davis, a pro's pro, at this point in time in a training camp battle. But now that you move on from Mike Davis, it gives those guys an opportunity. Williams probably will eat the bulk of those opportunities and those reps that Davis is now vacating, but it gives an opportunity for guys like Algier and Olison to potentially also help fill that void as well. And you need to see what these guys can do, because you need to figure out if a running back is going to be a priority need next offseason when you have all that cap space, when you go into next year's draft, right? You know, are you going to let Ryan Pace continue to rule the world and run this front office when he goes out there and convinces Terry Fontenot to, you know, pay David Montgomery, who's an impending free agent, $1 billion next offseason, or a Saquon Barkley or Josh Jacobs or Damian Harris or Miles Sanders, any other running backs that potentially could hit the open market? You have Bijan Robinson from Texas, Zach Charbonnet from UCLA as some of these bigger backs that are potentially at the top of next year's draft class. And you want to know, similar, it's the same conversation we're having with Desmond Ridder and Marcus Mariota, guys. You got to figure out what you have. And right, that's the thing that we're all kind of forgetting, myself included, that this is still a rebuilding year. We talked about last year being an evaluation year. This year is just as much, if not more, of an evaluation year for this football team. And you got to figure out who are the guys that are going to be, you know, assets for you in the future, or who are the guys that you're going to have to move on from. And the sooner you can find that out, the better for this football team in the long term. And so that's the reason why cutting Mike Davis makes a ton of sense for the Falcons. And we'll see if Tyler Allgeier and Quadri Olsen and Damian Williams and Cordero Patterson are able to pick up the slack or not. And if not, then, you know, the Falcons will be back in the running back market again next offseason. So, that will do it for that part of the conversation. And again, I know we all forgot about, you know, this is a rebuilding year because we're all looking at these, you know, great draft grades, you know, A's across the board, B pluses across the board for the Falcons in their draft class. And, you know, it duped a lot of us, not me, but some of y'all at least that, you know, oh, maybe the Falcon team isn't necessarily rebuilding. Maybe they're capable of competing this year, but that's not necessarily the case. But speaking of, you know, positive draft grades, we're going to have somebody on the podcast coming up in Trevor Sikkema of Pro Football Focus, who is going to sing all the praises of this Falcons draft class led by Terry Fontenot and Ryan Pace, that earned them such the high grades and why these guys absolutely nailed the draft. And we'll get into that as we continue today's episode with Trevor Sikkema coming up. But before we get there, guys, I do want to plug the Locked On Sports Atlanta podcast family that I botched earlier when I first introduced the show. But all the shows on Locked On Sports Atlanta, you get one feed, three different shows, A to Z with Mark Zeno, Hitting Hard with John Chuckering, ATL Day Ones with Jarvis Davis and Tanitra Batiste. And all of those shows are free and available on all the same podcast platforms that you can find Locked On Falcons, including Apple, Odyssey, Google, Spotify, and YouTube. And guys, I want to tell you all about betonline.net, the number one source for all your sports betting needs and info, whether it's podcasts, the latest odds, contests, or player props. BetOnline has it all. And whether you want to bet on baseball, the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, boxing, UFC, golf, hockey, esports, your favorite Vegas casino games. And just because the draft is over doesn't mean you can't bet on other football props like the Falcons win total at 4.5 wins, the over under. You think the Falcons with Tyler Allgeier, without Mike Davis, are going to be better than 4.5 wins this season? Head on over to betonline.net to put your money where your mouth is. BetOnline is where the game starts. All right, everyone, you are Locked On Falcons, and today I am joined by Trevor Sikkema, aka Tampa Bay Trey on Twitter, now with Pro Football Focus, formerly of the Locked On Podcast Network. He's doing some great work over at PFF, and he's here with us today to talk about the Falcons 2022 draft class, who stood out, who did not, maybe some head scratchers of some picks he really likes. We'll get into all of that as we continue today's Locked On Falcons. Trevor, welcome back to the show.
I appreciate it, Aaron. Always love coming on the show, getting to chop it up a little bit with you. So I appreciate you having me on, man.
Well, the first question I want to ask you, sort of, what is your overall thoughts on the Falcons draft class?
I loved it. It was one of my favorite draft classes. It really was. I loved it at the very top. Loved the Drake London pick. I saw that you weren't the biggest fan of them going receiver at 8, right? Am I correct?
Yeah.
So I'd love to hear why you kind of didn't love receiver, but, you know, there are so many needs on this Falcons roster. I imagine that was probably why. They didn't have to pick receiver, but, of course, everything that's happened with Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones has been gone for over a year. They lose Russell Gage as well. Now Matt Ryan is out of the building. And so it's like, whoa, all of a sudden, not a lot of playmakers on offense. I mean, you got Cordero Patterson, you've got Kyle Pitts, but true receiver, not a lot of really great options there. And so you had to start that rebuild. You had to really get into that. And so I was okay with them taking a wide receiver. I love Drake London. I'm a big Drake London fan. I had him as wide receiver one for a really long time. Came around to Jameson Williams a bit at the end of the process and really was just like, man, you can't teach that kind of speed for him. So I ended up having him as my top wide receiver in this class. But I had Drake London at number two because just like you can't teach Jameson Williams speed, you cannot teach the kind of alpha mentality and the contested catchability that Drake London has. Can you get better at that for some receivers? Yes. But to the level of dominance that this guy had, that's a natural gift to me. And so I love him as a wide receiver one option in the NFL, so I really liked it at the top. I thought they had a killer day two as well. I mean, starting things off with Arnold Ketty, who I believe could have been a first-round pick, easy. Troy Anderson, I mean, I wasn't the biggest Troy Anderson fan, but I understand what they're going for. They're putting more athleticism on the field. They want the defense to be faster. And so that was still fine. I know a lot of people who like Troy Anderson's game. Desmond Ridder at 74, huge. Dude, I saw a base for them taking Malik Willis at 8. And they end up getting Desmond Ridder at 74. That's wild. I thought that was a fantastic pick. That's my QB1 in this draft. They ended up getting a 74. D'Angelo Malone, really nice pass rusher as well. Pass rusher is obviously a huge need for the Falcons. And then I'll just mention Tyler Allgeier too, who I had as my RB3 in this class. I like Tyler Allgeier a lot. Love the running back or the linebacker hybrid running back background that he has. So just really, when you get into all of those picks, boom, 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 those were guys that were high on my big board that I really liked the potential of, especially relative to where they were picked. And I thought Terry Fontenot nailed it. And he needed to. Like, let's be honest. After last year and kind of how the roster was turned over the last year and a half, I'll say, in Atlanta, he needed to nail this draft. And personally, I love all the players that he was able to get on the roster. So I was a big fan of what the Falcons did.
Yeah, I get that. You know, and you talk about me not loving that wide receiver pick. Basically, it just boils down to the Falcons always have great skill positions and they always get their butts kicked in the trenches. And I just wanted to see, you know, a draft that tried to address that. But as is always the case when it comes to the draft, they take the players that you don't necessarily always love at the time, and then you wind up, you know, making peace with it and falling in love with the player. So that's really where I'm at now with the Drake London pick. So I guess my next question for you is, you know, you rattle off a bunch of picks that you really do like. Is there one that really stands out as your favorite pick for the Falcons in this draft class?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think it's got to be either Ridder or Ebukadi. I think I'll just start with Ridder. You know, I mentioned that there were some mock drafts that had Atlanta taking a quarterback at 8 overall. And for them to kind of be that patient with it. Now, granted, I thought they were too patient with it, right? I thought that either the Ebukadi selection or the Troy Anderson selection, you probably should have been taking one of the quarterbacks that were on the board. But the way that it fell only makes the draft class look a lot better. I think a lot of people looked at Atlanta as a potential landing spot for Malik Willis. One, because I think people can't get like the Mike Vick kind of comparisons out of their head, even though he's nowhere close to what Mike Vick was. Yeah, he's got great physical talent, Malik Willis does, but that comparison should not have been there from a talent perspective when those two dudes are coming into the league. But I think that people looked to that and said that might be a reason why they kind of looked that direction. But I think another reason was because Malik Willis certainly needs time. Right, I think his ceiling is high, but his floor is low, especially right off the bat right now. And with Marcus Mariota being there, 2-year contract, you can kind of afford to just ease Malik Willis in and then maybe get the best of that draft pick in a year or two. Ridder still makes sense, and I want to make sure everybody out there knows that. Just because this isn't as much of a project quarterback, that doesn't mean that Ridder doesn't make just as much sense, maybe even more sense for this roster. Again, I had him as QB1 for me, and that's because he already comes into the pros as a guy who I think can step in right away and play some good football. He's got really nice mechanics, whether it's his footwork and his lower body, all the way to his throwing motion, how he gets the ball out of his hands. I think he manages the pocket better than every quarterback in this class. He can go through progressions. He's operated quote-unquote real offense, if you will, already for a couple of years in Cincinnati. And he's got a big arm. He's got the big frame. He's got some mobility to him. I think that he just – his ceiling isn't talked about enough, I would say. There are a little bit of accuracy concerns, and he certainly has to fix those somehow. But if he does, man, this could be a damn good quarterback. So I love the fact that they were able to get him there. And then, like I said, Ebukadi, this is a first-round talent for a lot of people. And I had him as a fringe – late first, early second round guy. Would have been totally fine with those teams in the mid to late 20s. Taking Ebukadi, so him going in the top of the second round to a team that desperately needed some pass rushers, that's huge. I think capitalizing on that was massive for the Falcons. He's going to be a guy who I think is going to start away, and he should. He's an older prospect. It took him a while to really get on the field and get his groove. He was at Temple before he was at Penn State. But really over these last 2 years of college football, especially this last season, he's kind of put it all together. It's all kind of come to fruition in his game, and he's turned out to be a really great pass rusher. At least he was in his final year at Penn State. So this is another guy who I'm expecting to be able to come in, be able to play at the NFL level at a high level right away. So those two picks, I think getting those two guys on day two could end up being huge for this franchise.
Well, I appreciate your input on that, Trevor, and we'll talk all about the pros and positives of this draft class, but maybe there's maybe a few more question marks that you have about this draft class, and we'll get into that as we continue today's Locked On Falcons. So, guys, we got more to come with Trevor Sikkema of Pro Football Focus, talking about maybe some of the picks that he is least enthusiastic or less enthusiastic about from this Falcons draft class. And we'll get into that as we continue today's Locked On Falcons podcast, guys. But before we get there, I want to thank everyone that makes Locked On Falcons their first listen each and every day. And I always have recommendations for what your second listen should be. In addition to the Locked On Sports Atlanta podcast family, why not check out the Locked On Braves podcast? The Braves season is going strong, and check out what's going on with that team on a daily basis here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And of course, you can find Locked On Braves free and available on all the same podcast platforms that you can find Locked On Falcons, as well as the Locked On Braves post game postcast, which you can find on the Locked On Sports Atlanta podcast feed. So, guys, I also want to tell you about Rock Auto, the other proud sponsor of today's episode. We know with ever increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts that you need. Why wait while the person behind the counter orders parts on their computer when you already have a computer with access to rockauto.com in your pocket or at home? Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Instead of spending up to twice as much for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership, Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years with reliably low prices for every customer. They have everything you need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, new carpet, anything you need. You can find it on their easy to use website. So head on over to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And when you do, write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So I'm here talking with Trevor Sikkema of PFF, and we're talking about the Falcons 2022 draft class. And Trevor's already sung the praises of how much he loved this draft class. But I guess my next question, is there one pick or a couple of picks that maybe leave you scratching your head a little bit? Maybe there's a player that you don't quite see the vision on in this Falcons draft class, or did they absolutely nail it?
I really do. I think they nailed it. But if you want to nitpick, I wasn't the biggest fan of Troy Anderson. So, you know, him going 58, I feel like they could have gone a couple of different directions. Certainly, they could have taken a chance on N'Kobe Dean. N'Kobe Dean wasn't even taken until 83 overall. I believe Chad Mumma was still on the board, too. I would have taken Chad Mumma before Troy Anderson. So, you know, those two guys, I think just the selection of which linebacker, and I get that N'Kobe Dean was beat up. He's got the medical issues and everything like that. But this Falcons team, let's face it, isn't going to compete for a championship next year. I don't think they're going to compete for a championship over the next 2 years. So even if you told yourself, hey, we're going to give N'Kobe Dean time to get fully healthy, right? Even if he takes a full redshirt year this next year, have the shoulder surgery, get the pec right, get the knee right, heal up the ankle, and be the starting center of our defense from 2023 and beyond. That's what I think the Philadelphia Eagles are going to do. And if I was a team that was, picking around 58 when the Falcons were selecting Troy Anderson, that would have been on my mind, because that was a first-round pick. He's one of the best defensive players in college football. So I think that Atlanta would have been in a situation where I would have rather seen a N'Kobe Dean or a Chad Mumma. I had those guys ranked significantly higher than I had Troy Anderson. So I get it. It's a fine pick. And again, they want to get his athleticism and his speed in the center of that defense. So it's fine. I get the mindset. I just would have gone with different selections. And outside of that, you know, maybe offensive line somewhere, but it's hard for me to argue with the guys that they have now. You know, I think that a lot of people could look at their draft haul and say, you know, like you mentioned, this is a team that does not dominate in the trenches enough, right? So maybe within the first five rounds, there would have been a spot to where you would have liked for them to pull the trigger on an offensive lineman. Going back to what I was just saying before, it's a multi-year rebuild here for the Falcons. They're going to take a couple of years to figure it out. They don't even have their franchise quarterback on the roster yet. So with that being said, you don't want to be too hard on the offensive line, because they've really, in all honesty, got this year, next year, probably even the year after that. Probably it's a 3-year plan here before they – start to open up that winning window and start to get really good, really competitive. Not that they're going to be a dumpster fire for the next 2 years. It's not what I mean, but you don't have to hate the fact that they didn't draft an offensive lineman in this draft. I think you're okay with it as long as they kind of have that mindset moving forward that they have to invest in it over the next couple of years.
Fair enough. Is there a sleeper pick for you in this draft? Someone that, you know, maybe one of these day three guys like a Tyler Allgeier that you feel like could wind up surprising a lot of folks based off of where they were drafted?
I mean, I like Tyler Allgeier a lot. I mentioned it. I had him as RB3 in this class. I had Breece Hall number one. I had Kenneth Walker number two. And I had Tyler Allgeier right after that. And, you know, you look at Cordarrelle Patterson, he's such a unique offensive weapon that they're going to lean on as a guy out of the backfield. They've got Damian Williams as well. But Tyler Allgeier can really be that power player. He doesn't have the same kind of wiggle and flexibility and change of direction that some of these other running backs in the class had. But he has some of the best contact balance in the class. He is a power runner. He is a momentum dude that you don't want to stay in front of when he gets a full head of steam. Love the idea of him being able to work from a zone blocking perspective. When you get him as a one cut back, get him moving a little bit, again, get that momentum going. He's not going to be, I don't think, that guy that is running behind a power scheme or a gap scheme and duo up the middle where he's doing the Le'Veon Bell thing where he's just kind of bouncing his feet, waiting, and then moving up the field quickly. Now, he needs a little bit more build-up speed than that. So I think that's why kind of a one-cut inside-outside zone role for him would be really great, because I think he's got good vision and he showed that over the last couple of years at BYU. He's got a fun background. This was a guy who was a walk-on player at BYU. Didn't earn a scholarship until his second year with the program. When he got a scholarship, it was as a running back, but he wasn't getting playing time. They had injuries at linebacker, and the linebacker coach came to Allgeier and said, hey, we need bodies. Do you want to play linebacker for us? You will play this year. You will get on the field. And Tyler Allgeier was like, yeah, absolutely. So he actually played linebacker for a season for BYU before then popping back over to running back because they had injuries at running back. And when he did that, he became a 1,000-yard rusher in both those seasons there for BYU. So ton of production, especially in that year when they had Zach Wilson and they were one of the funnest teams in the country. And he was a big reason why. I like his play style. I understand the lack of agility is why he lasted until the fifth round. But I'm telling you, he shouldn't have lasted until the fifth round. This guy's going to get more production than what you would think from a player who was drafted around that range. So I really do. I love Tyler Allgeier.
Well, Trevor, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your insights into this Falcons draft class. You've been singing the praises. This is what the Locked On Falcons listeners have been hoping for from me, and I have not been able to deliver on it. But that's why I brought you on, to deliver the positivity and the praises for this Falcons draft class. And again, before anybody jumps into the comments and says, Aaron, you're just a hater, I do like the draft class. But Trevor definitely is giving you the best selling point for why this draft class is really going to be important for the Falcons' future. Unfortunately, we were talking before the air, we're not going to get to see your 2023 mock draft like you used to do at the Draft Network. I think, you know, with the Falcons picking potentially high in next year's draft, certainly in these various mock drafts, I'm just curious to get your thoughts, since you're the expert on the way too early mock draft. You know, what can you envision with like a Will Anderson or a Jalen Carter or possibly a CJ Stroud or Bryce Young in a Falcons uniform next year?
Those are the guys. Those are the guys that if you think the Falcons are going to be bad this year, bad enough for a top five pick, those are the guys that you're dreaming of. Those are some of the best players in the country, no doubt about it. And the best part is that there's some guys that are going to absolutely rise to the top that we weren't expecting, right? Trayvon Walker, Aiden Hutchinson, Sauce Gardner, all those players. We weren't really talking about his top five picks, but they played well enough in the season that led up to the NFL draft to be worth it. And so that's what's the most exciting part. We have a handful of guys that we're already getting hyped for, with Jalen Carter and Will Anderson, just absolute line wreckers on the defense that we have already seen in college football. And then two quarterbacks who could be franchise changing. And, you know, that's not even including guys like Tyler Van Dyke from Miami, who could take another big step forward. Will Levis from Kentucky, who a lot of people really like. Spencer Rattler, maybe, if he kind of figures it out with South Carolina, who knows. So it's shaping up to be quite the exciting draft class already. Falcons fans definitely have a lot to look forward to when it comes to this season, how this rookie class pans out, and then, of course, how they continue to build this team through the draft over the next couple of years.
Well, that's going to do it for us here. Trevor, let the people know what you got coming for them over at PFF in the coming days and weeks.
Yeah, so appreciate it. Appreciate you having me on, Aaron. This has been a lot of fun. And throughout this summer, NFL Stock Exchange Podcast. That's the NFL draft podcast that I have right now with Connor Rogers. And we're running through our draft grades for every single division, every single team, getting into the weeds, if you will, the details of breaking down all these classes. And then as we get into the summer, we're going to turn the page and we're going to get to summer scouting. We're going to tell you that quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, trench players, linebackers, secondary guys, everybody that you need to keep an eye on for the upcoming college football season as you watch your favorite team, the Falcons, and then think about what guys could potentially be in Falcons uniforms in a couple of years. So we'll get to all that during the summer, but I appreciate you having me on, Aaron. This is a blast.
Well, in the words of Bart Scott, can't wait to see what content you guys, you and Connor, have this summer. So looking forward to that. And of course, guys, you can check out Trevor as well on Tampa Bay Trey on Twitter and elsewhere. So, guys, that's going to do it for us here on today's Locked On Falcons. I believe tomorrow's episode will have Alex Frank, the host of Locked On Bearcats, to talk a lot more about Desmond Ridder and what he'll bring to the table. We can get into that on tomorrow's episode. And then later in this week, we'll also have some other guests to come on, talk about their thoughts on the Falcons draft class. And then hopefully next week, we'll get into Locked On Drake London week. That's the plan for right now, and hopefully we'll cap that off with a scouting report on Drake London towards the end of the week after we talk him up throughout the week. So that's the plan for right now. I hope you guys continue to tune in and make Locked On Falcons your first listen. I always have recommendations for your second listen in addition to Locked On Bearcats, Locked On Braves, Locked On Bulldogs, Locked On Hawks, Locked On Sports Atlanta, Locked On NFL, and Locked On NFL Draft to get the latest analysis on all 31 teams. There have been big moves happening today. DeAndre Hopkins suspended. There's trades. Tyrann Mathieu headed to New Orleans. Check out Locked On Saints, Locked On Cardinals, all that and more. Always on Locked On Podcast Network to get your insights on any of the stories going on around the NFL, the MLB, the NHL, the NBA, etc. So guys, appreciate you for tuning in for another episode of Locked On Falcons. That will do it for us. Till then.